Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Father God, use us up. Father, we're here for you. We're glad to see friends. We're glad to see family. What a blessing we can gather in one place. Thank you for giving us this building. But Jesus, it's about you. Just like one day there will be a gathering in heaven. But it's not about the grassy knoll and the picnic with family and friends. It's about you. And so help us, Father, here on earth, put our mind on you for this time, this hour. It's yours. We're yours. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship together this morning.
Psalms 98:4-9 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a song, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity."
we sang that song Nikki read from Psalm 98. That's the song. That's the scripture that we sang when we sang that song. The scripture for the song we're singing next, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the hope that we have in King Jesus. Shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do we know the answer to that? If God's for us, who can be against us? Amen. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all things, how will he not be with him graciously to give us all things? Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?
No.
Oh, yep, that was terrible. Shall tribulation?
No.
Or distress?
No.
Or persecution?
No.
Or famine?
No.
Or nakedness?
No.
Or danger?
No.
Or sword?
No.
As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night.
And through the darkness,
then through the darkness, your loving kindness poured through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living.
Sing it again, hallelujah.
And hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim.
The one.
of these days, praise and worship isn't going to stop. One of these days, we'll be in a place where there's no need for evangelism because everybody there is going to be saved. One of these days, we're going to be in a place that doesn't need any sermons to remind you about growing spiritually and who Jesus is, because personally, our faith will have become sight and our hope will be obtained and we'll be in His place. But there will be on that day unending, ceaseless praise and worship of the God Most High. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Ninth class, y'all ready? We're going to continue on in our looking at Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. We're going to ask Him, really ask Him, Lord, just to show us through the Word more and more about Him. The name of the sermon is Jesus Shows Us the Way. It's John 13, 1 through 20. Let me read it. As I read it, I want to remind you this is the only perfect part of the message. I'm going to try to read it well, but the Word of God is perfect. Period. The stuff I add when I preach is stuff. Okay. I try to line it up, but I'm trying. It's my effort. But the Word is without error. It is an accurate reflection of who Christ is. So listen. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew His hour had come that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come from God, and that He was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured into water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said, "What I'm doing now you don't understand, but you will know after this." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered back, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For He knew who would betray Him, therefore He said, "You are not all clean." So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than him or he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, 'He who eats bread with me has lifted his heel against me.' Now I tell you before it comes, so when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." Pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that Jesus in all things is our example, our teacher, our rabbi. Told not to call anybody else our rabbi on earth because you're our teacher. You are the Christ, the Messiah. So Father, I pray you to show us and that you would fill us and that you would inspire us and move us, revive us, restore us, add to our resolution, Father. And if there's any here who've not been born again, may they be reborn today. Lord, you know what's in everybody's heart, but you show us what's in your heart and mind that we might be saved. That's what your word's about. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, this is a beautiful passage, and it's one of those times where I feel like everything I do and say is going to fall way short, but I'm going to do it and say it anyway, okay? So you get back and you look at it and you study. But I want you to think about how Jesus shows us some things. how Jesus shows us the way of love, first off. In this first verse, there's so much love packed into it. It's a beautiful thing. It starts off with this. It says, now the time of the Passover feast had come about. This is going to be the last Passover feast that Jesus was going to celebrate on earth. Y'all, I believe this is the main Passover feast that's ever happened in all creation and all eternity. I believe that when God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to go get a lamb of the first year, a male, without spot, blemish, without any kind of blindness or handicap, and to bring it into their home and watch it for 4 days to make sure it was a quality lamb, and then on that fourth day at twilight to sacrifice it, to take the blood of that lamb and put it over their doorpost and hide out in their house so when the death angel passed over, they'd be saved. That wasn't but a sign and an illustration pointing to this Passover that John 13 is talking about. This is the big Passover moment. This is the time when Jesus is saying, I know what time it is. And I'm ready. Father, I'm ready. The Lamb is ready. His earthly ministry took the religious experts, the Jewish Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rabbis, the high priests, and they examined. They're further going to examine after this, but they examined him. What was his teaching? What did he say? What was he doing? No, they couldn't find any fault against him. The Lamb was ready. When was the Lamb chosen? Before the foundation of the world. When did Jesus know he was the Lamb? From the foundation of the world. His face was set towards Jerusalem for this very day. Man, that's some love. If I knew I was going to be the sacrificial lamb and I needed to go to a certain place, I think I might have been more like Jonah and went to the other place. He said, he told Jonah, go to Tarshish. Go to Nineveh. Jonah tried to go to Tarshish, which is way on the other side of the world. Ooh, that sounds like me. I don't want no trouble. I don't want to be no sacrifice. But if we want to know what love is, we don't need to look at me. We need to look at him. We look at Christ. He's the one who shows us love. And can I tell you, big loves that the Passover lamb was ready. He was in Jerusalem. It was the Holy Week. He was ready. He was ready to give his life for your sake and my sake. Amen. He was ready. That's some love right there. He knew it was his time. It says not only was he ready, it was Passover and he was ready, but we get an insight into Jesus' thinking. Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world and go to the Father. Most of the time we're not given that kind of insight of knowing when it's our time. Sometimes we can watch and think that people's time is getting closer, but we don't know those things. But what we do know about Jesus is he knew. He full out knew it was time to say bye, and he went forward still. This is why I always say Jesus is tougher than anybody you ever meet. He was about to go through things he never deserved ever. Things that we earned through our perversity, our sin, our filth, he took on himself. He knew it was coming. He didn't vary. He didn't go to the left hand or the right hand. He went straight, right down to where God would have him go. It was time that he go to the back. It was time. What happens in your mind when there's a big transition about to take place? Maybe graduating or getting married or what, you know, just a big transition. Think about some of the tensity, some of moving, getting unmarried, changing a job, going from here to there. You know, all these things are like stressors, losing somebody. You know, we think about what's going on in your mind. You know, what's happening in your mind? You're under all that stress and your tension. Y'all, Jesus had those things going on too. I mean, this wouldn't have been an easy time. We're going to see his prayer life in a minute, how tense it was. And when he was sweating, it was as if it was drops of blood. It was so tense. But can I tell you, it did not deter him. Don't count yourself out because you're going through a tough time. And it's just tough on you. A lot of people quit. They think they're unfaithful just because they have doubts or fears or worries. That don't make you unfaithful. It makes you human. Just don't let it deter you. Don't let it stop you. Go forward scared. Levi's up here, and I get to pick on him because he's here. Ron Edwards took us out hunting. And he took Josh with him, and and he let Levi and I climb in this tree stand. And it was dark 30 in the morning. You know, you couldn't see nothing. And we're going. And I was asking Ron questions like, how much weight can that tree blind hold? And he said, don't worry about it. It'll be all right. And I was asking a lot of things. You know, we can hunt from the ground. No, you need to climb the line. No. So I was like, all right. So we get out there, and Ron and Josh take off on the four-wheeler to the other place where they're going to hunt. And I said, Levi, go up there. And Levi starts climbing up there, and I'm behind him. And he says, Daniel, I'm scared. And I said, you sissy. No, that's how you remember it, isn't it? I said, son, I am too. But just keep climbing. We're going to make it. And we got up there, and we gave all that tree blind everything it could handle. You know what I mean? I couldn't, it was dark, and I don't know how high we was up, but it didn't feel like we were sitting on a whole lot. And, you know, there was stuff around us, and we just kind of were like scared to death. But then when it came, I mean, it could have, whatever, it would have scared us. You know, it wasn't in no danger. Not from us, but we got up, we did it. And as soon as daylight broke, Levi said, can I get down? I said, yes, sir, go on. He got down. And then we ended up looking. That thing, I'm pointing at Ron now, that was max weight, 250 pounds. I'm like, my right leg's 250 pounds, man. He sent both of us up there. I was almost, you know, anyways, it was ridiculous. But the bottom line was, in that light, funny illustration, I mean, you can be scared, but keep going. You can be scared to keep going. Jesus knew his time had come. He kept going. He was there. He was ready. Not only that, he loved his own. And because this is the Gospel of John, we get a repetition. He loved them to the end. He loved his own, and he loved them to the very end. In other words, what he's saying is he loved them all the way. He loved them. He loved them. What was going on in Jesus' mind? That last hour, those last days, I love these knuckleheads. I love these knuckleheads. That's what I'm asking them to say. I love them. Why, Jesus? What have they done? They've been those of little faith. They don't understand. They're slow on the uptake. There's one in there who's on the other side, and there's another one who's going to deny he even knows you. Why do you love them? What is it about them? You know what the most freeing thing you can get through your mind is? Jesus doesn't love you because of you. He loves you because that's who he is. He is a loving, gracious God. He pours out grace like the sun pours out light. He just loves you. You can spend all your life trying to figure out why. Well, he must love me because I'm really smart and I go to the right places and I wear the right clothes and I do these things. And he knows if he takes care of me, I'll take care of him. That's reciprocity. If he takes care of me, I'll take care of him. Can I tell you, that ain't how God loves. God loves by grace. Only relationship you'll be in that's 100% grace. Reciprocity goes through all of our relationships, and it makes sense. Husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends, aunts and uncles, everybody. You give and they give back. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. We help each other. That's how we're supposed to live. It's part of it. But if you want to be in a relationship where it's all grace, all one-sided, where somebody just loves you and he ain't never going to stop, you're only going to find that in Christ. You're only going to find that in Jesus. Okay? That's it. You know, we want to grab onto that and say, Lord, not only do we want to grab onto that grace from you, but help us be more gracious in our relationships. Help us not always be so worried about whether we get our backs scratched all the time. Help us, Lord, to be more loving. Help us to see Jesus and be more like Jesus as we go. When it's our time to go, time for big translations, let us be like Jesus. When it's time to love, let us be like Jesus. We've seen it in him. Lord, help put it in us. He loved them fully to the end. Jesus also shows us how to serve. The first sermon I ever preached in a church, Friendship Baptist Church, Lincoln Park, Michigan. I know the address too. You know, it's weird what you remember. 2071 Porter Street, Lincoln Park, Michigan, 48146. That's where I preached my first sermon after being called to preach. The first sermon in a church. And this was the passage I preached. I preached John 13, essentially verse 3. And what it does is it gives us an insight into what Jesus' mind was and why he was so free to serve. Why he was so free to serve. You know, Judas got served at the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper. And he was going to betray Jesus. Peter got served, and he was going to deny Jesus. The rest of the lot, I think they were just scared. They was holding on for dear life. He still served all them. Where did he get that strength? What did he know that maybe we don't know, but we should? Three things it says in verse 3 that Jesus knew. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, knowing that he had come from God, and knowing that he was going to go to God. Okay? That's what Jesus did. What about you and I? Let's look at this one at a time. Jesus knew the Father had given all things into his hands. Was there anything? Jesus is going to say in another place, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Was there anything that God the Father held back from Jesus? Anything at all? You know, we think about it, it's like, no, Jesus had all authority in heaven and earth. He had power to lay his life down. He had power to bring his life back up. That's what we learn in John chapter 5. All authority had been given to him. All things had been given to him. He trusted God the Father because God the Father gave him all things. He was ready to serve. He knew he had been given all things. What about you and I? Have we been given all things? Has all authority in heaven and earth been given to you and to me? Well, it hasn't directly. But what has been? We've been given Jesus. See, Jesus was given all things by his Father, and his Father gave Jesus to us. We read it in Romans chapter 8. See, we have Christ. Christ has been given all things. So, are we lacking anything? No, man, we got all that we need in Christ. Do you know that? There's nothing that you and I lack to be saved or to live with power and grace. There's nothing that we lack because we've been given Christ. We need to know that. Christ abides where? In us. And he has been given all things. What about coming from God? Jesus came from God. Matter of fact, we learn Jesus came from God in Genesis chapter 1. God said, a spoken word, let there be light, and there was light. And then we hear all the way back, we go all the way back to the front of the Gospel of John, and it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Where did Jesus come from? Yeah. He proceeds from God. He's the Word of God. Always has been. What about you and I? Where did we come from? Don't say monkeys. I'm like, I got something to throw. Tell me about single-celled organisms and all that. I'll wrestle you. You know, God created human beings. Created a race of human beings. Adam and Eve had a family. And that family, for the most part, was devastated and destroyed. But Noah and his family preserved that race. And so all of us have this human lineage, right? So we can say, well, you know, I come from this family and that family. You can break out the family tree. You can tell me where your home place is and doing all that stuff, right? You can think of all kind of things, all kind of relatives. And it's interesting, our stories. Miss Sarah's written a book about this people's stories, and it's interesting. But can I tell you this? If you've been born again, you got a different story. If you've been reborn from above, if you've been born again and saved by God, you can know you came from God. See, new birth don't happen because you just feel like it wanting to happen. It's a work of God in your life. It's when God saves you and converts you and he makes you part of his very own family. So in your natural lineage, you might say, well, I come from Michigan and my people, you know, I'm second generation from Germany on my dad's side. My grandfather, my dad's dad, was born and raised in Germany until he was 8 to 10 years old, and then he came to Michigan, and then my dad and me, so I'm second generation from there, and I can go through all this stuff, but I can do you one better. in October of 1994, I gave my life to Jesus Christ after hearing the good news, and I was saved and I was born again, and my lineage is completely different now. I'm from God, born again from God. See, for all who will believe in Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. I know I've come from God. Y'all might think, man, if you came from God, you must be a better preacher. But hey, that, don't critique me on that now. I'm born again through the grace of God. What about you? Because if you've been born again, then you too can know that you've come from God. You got a purpose in this life. You've come from God. He made you born again into His family, not just Adam's family. If you've been born again into God's family, you've come from God, let me ask you this. Where are you going? Where are God's children headed? Where? Heaven. You sure? We need to be sure. Time's like, I'm sorry. No, she's doing good. It's bold. Yeah. Man, if I've been born again from above, I'm going to live with God. Why? Because I'm good and faithful. Because I'm strong and sturdy. Because I'm moral. Because He's strong. He's going to keep me. Because what He put inside, what He made me born again was eternal life. That is the promise of this gospel over and over and over. The most famous verse being 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise of the gospel. So, here's what I'm saying. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things to Him. We know that the Father has given us Jesus. Jesus knew He had come from God. We can know that we've come from God if we're born again. Jesus knew that He was returning to God. We can know that we're returning to God if we've been born again. If we know these things, what can stop us from serving our butts off whenever God calls us to? Because you know, it says Jesus knew these things, and then He took off that garment, He wrapped Himself up with a towel, and He began to serve. I think when we got that stuff in our brain, that we belong to Him, we've been given Christ, we've been given new life, and that life is eternal, we're ready to serve. We're ready to serve because we realize we've been graced, and now it's time to be gracious. And He served. What does serving look like in your life? Don't look at me. What does it look like? What could it look like being grounded in who you are in Christ? I hope you do know those things. Just a small pause for the cause. Especially if you don't know that you've been born again. You're in the right place. The Bible says this. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you shall be saved. For with the mouth one confesses unto righteousness. And with the heart one believes unto salvation. You won't be put to shame. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved. If you don't know those things, don't go out of here without knowing them. Let's also now look at Jesus' example. So powerful for the church. Jesus girds Himself with servant's clothes and begins to wash feet. And this is when we ought to thank God for a man like Simon Peter. Peter the Apostle, because he just couldn't shut up, and because he couldn't shut up, we really know what Jesus was after. Okay? Jesus comes around dressed up like a servant to wash feet. But I want to point out to you, this happened after supper. Ain't no need to wash somebody's feet after supper. Their feet aren't dirty. A lot of people have presumed that their feet didn't get washed on the front end before supper. But had they not gotten washed on the front end, Jesus probably would have washed their feet just to accomplish that menial task. After supper, they're about to leave. Why is He washing their feet? It wasn't a practical example He was giving them. He wanted to show them something crucially important for the body of Christ. So He comes up to Peter. And he says, he's got the towel, He's got the water, He's going to go wash His feet. And Peter says, Lord, are You going to wash my feet? Jesus says, like a parent to a child, you don't understand what I'm doing now, honey. So just cool your jets. Let me do what I'm going to do, and you'll understand later. That's not good enough for Peter. Peter spouts off. Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus got that look in his eyes that he often had when he looked at Peter. Like, I love you. I'm going to have to love you. And he says, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. If I haven't made you clean, you're not mine. If I haven't done this work in your life, you don't belong to me. This shakes Peter up. Okay, I get it. Then don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands and wash my head. That's what Jesus said. Bless your heart. He said, you still don't understand. If you've already been made clean by me, you're completely clean. He verified that to Peter. You just need to have your feet washed and be accepted. Because in this world, we go through stuff. He was giving them an example. It wasn't an example of menial tasks. Every time I hear this sermon, everybody's racing like, how can we wash people's feet in our day and time? Maybe we can wash their car, or cut their yard, or you know, take their dog. Anyway, I'll give you money. Anyways, if you're looking for a menial task to do that would really bless somebody, talk to me. Jesus was teaching this. In the body of believers, we need to follow the example of Jesus that when we get into dirt, that we have a place to go to be clean, to be washed, to be accepted, to be restored. This was not a useful menial task. They had eaten supper. Their feet weren't dirty. Jesus was showing them that they needed his cleaning to be part of him at all, and that they needed that occasional foot washing. Even though they were completely clean, they were still going to sin. Anybody in here saved has sinned? Maybe once since you've been saved? Anybody? We still shouted to raise our hands about that. Only 25% of you, the rest of you, I said, have you sinned after you've been saved? And just one time. Hey, did it make you unsaved? Now listen now. We got to know this. Jesus is showing us this. Because when it comes to serving, a lot of people take themselves out because they have some kind of weird standard of, well, this and that. I don't know a servant of Christ that hasn't sinned, that hasn't been a hypocrite, hasn't done some things weird. We don't need to quit. Just like we don't need to quit because we're scared. Well, what do we do? What do we need to do? We need to come to the Lord, have our feet washed, but we need to come to our church family. Be honest and open and say, I need a foot washing. Can I tell you what I've stepped in? Can I tell you? Because Jesus doesn't just set the example. He gives a command. Here's his command. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Y'all, when Jesus washed their feet, it wasn't a menial task just to do something practical good. It was to show that he loved them and he accepted them. And he knew that even though they had been saved and clean, they still had this. Why is it that sometimes in the body of Christ is the last place you want to go and let people know you've stepped in this? I mean, maybe somebody will bring you a souffle and do some menial task for you, and they'll cut your yard and you know, they'll do those things. But why is it the meatier stuff, the weightier, the more substantial thing, which is to accept that our brothers and sisters are not perfect and they need to have their feet washed and need to be honest about the sin they've stepped in? Why is it the church seems slow on the uptake on that? Because I believe that's the more important meaning to what Jesus was doing. Because why would Jesus say, if I don't wash your feet like a normal household servant would do, you have no part in me? Isn't that a little overkill? Isn't that a little, like, whoa? He was making a point about being saved, about being forgiven, and about walking in this world, and about like Jesus did for them, that they needed to say, I accept you. I know you're not perfect. I know you've sinned. I know who you are. You can know who I am. Said no preacher ever to his church. Sadly enough. What we ought to do in the boldness of what Christ has done for us and what he's commanded for us to do, we ought not be afraid to serve one another, to hear the sin, to not condemn, but to accept as a part of us and to be able to move forward. Does that make sense? We ought to have that. That's something that we ought to, that's what we see here. He set the example. He gave the command. He had the knowledge. And y'all, there's nothing stopping us from living like Christ did. We have the Spirit. We have the Word. We have the mandate. We have the... He's given us the facilities. We have it. We can do it. Church, why don't we endeavor to live up to the model that He gave us so long ago, where everyone is welcome. Not just welcome to attend, welcome to be a friend. And not have to be perfect. Bacon being perfect is one of the most tiring and stupid and fruitless things that people get involved in. Yet in church, it's like we're all trying to get there, you know, where everybody thinks we're perfect. We're not. We know we're not. So why not be willing to wash each other's feet? Again, I hope it's not real foot washing. Some people are like, man, it's real foot washing. All right. I just got to warn you. I got daggers at the end of my toes, man. Watch yourself. Wear some canvas gloves or something like that, you know. Make sure you tell me beforehand so I wear the right pair of shoes. Because if I'm wearing the wrong pair of shoes. Y'all, doing menial tasks to show people that you love them is wonderful. It's great. Letting them know when they're down and out and have messed up on purpose, that you still love them and accept them, that's showing them the grace that comes from Christ. Make sense? All right. Last thing I'm going to point out in this text is just Jesus showing us how His mission works. Jesus showing the connection of His mission. Not only to show us how to love, show us how to serve, He's going to show us mission. I'm not going to do this long. I just want you to hear it. I just want you to hear the Word of God and maybe like me be a little bit like, wow. Verse 20, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. It sounds a little bit like a chain. Let's go to the top part of the chain. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into this world to be the good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made disciples while he was on earth, and he sent them out to share the good news. When somebody receives the good news that one of Jesus' disciples who was sent by Jesus, when they received that, they haven't just received a membership to a church building or to a country club or to anything else. They actually received Christ, and whoever has received Christ has actually received God the Father. There's a chain here. There's a connection, a network. I ain't never been a part of such a lofty network. I believe that Christ has sent me. I don't know about you. I don't know how y'all feel. I mean, I don't call myself an apostle or anything, but I feel like He has sent me. When I read Matthew chapter 28, it says, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. I feel like that commission applies to me. Does it apply to you? That means that you're the whomever that God will send. Can I tell you something, church? If Jesus will send you, don't argue with them. We don't want to be people like Peter that way. I heard a lot of people say, I just don't know what I would say, and I don't know how to witness, and I don't know how to... It's like, so? It doesn't say that you got to know how to do everything. It says if He sends you. You're like, well, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, have you been saved? And people say, well, I've been saved. Well, tell them how you've been saved. Man, if you've been saved, I believe you're qualified, and Jesus just very well may send you. We're going to take a trip. We're going to load up in a bus. We're going to go to Fort Worth, Texas, and we're going to go out in the fields filled with tent and lean-tos and bisqueen houses and just all this stuff. And we're going to be dealing with folks who are going to be happy to get a toothbrush and hand sanitizer and a sock. We're going to hand it to them. But we get to tell them about Jesus. I believe if you're on that trip that you weren't just... I believe Christ is sending us. Does that make sense? And if He sends us and they receive the message of the gospel, they receive Him. If they receive Him, they receive the one who sent Him. Do you see? You and I have a great purpose on this earth being a part of that chain. Whomever He sends. Don't disqualify yourself just because you don't feel worthy or because you don't feel like you know it all. You ain't never going to be worthy and you're never going to know it all. Just let Him send you. Now imagine they're up in heaven just saying, cool down, baby, just let me send you. Watch. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not you. So I'm sending you with the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believes. Everyone. We just need to be ready to go. What a grand purpose. I'm starting to get feeling like LG up here. You've been created for a purpose. You've been saved for a purpose. Part of that is to be in this chain that connects those who are sent by Christ to Christ and those who are connected to Christ to be connected to the one who sent Him. What a grand purpose for us. Don't count yourself out because you think you're unworthy. If He sent you, that's the qualification you need. And you go with the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have just to be Yours. First and foremost, that's the greatest blessing. No power or purpose or privilege will ever supersede simply belonging to Christ and being saved, written in Your book. Lord, we love You so much. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know that you're born again, and you leave out of here, that's on you. Because I'm telling you that if you're not born again, you're in trouble. Because when you meet God, it ain't going to be a great meeting. But if you are feeling Him work in your life and you need to be born again and saved, there's an opportunity right now. This is your time. Trust the one who loves you graciously, not counting on what you're going to return back to Him, just loves you graciously. Count on Him. Trust Him and be saved. If you have any other work to do with God, like maybe you thought, man, I knew all those things, but I'm still afraid to serve and it has stopped me. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let low self-esteem stop you or any other thing. Just move forward with God. First, get yourself, let Him save you. Let Him save you. This is your time. The band's going to lead, and y'all come as God leads you.
Let's go ahead and stand up.
ought to be thankful that people are willing to serve the Lord in the times of loss and sadness and every other thing. Anyways, I praise God for it this morning. Y'all may be seated. Usher is going to come forward to take the morning offering. And as they do, I'm going to invite everybody who is involved in D-Now and you who is involved in Passion a couple weeks ago. Y'all fill up this front row. Just start coming down. Y'all who are involved in Passion and or D-Now. There you go. Yeah, just come on down. D-Now. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. We bring in this offering. We bring Jesus' name.
All the money that the world can hold, mountains made of solid gold, riches that could buy my dreams, you are better than all these things. The prettiest face to turn their eyes, and beauty that could hypnotize, the open doors that looks may bring. Lord, you are better than all these things, 'cause your love is better than life, and you are the well that won't run dry. Lord, I have tasted and I have seen. Lord, you are better than all these things. Power that can shape the room, the most important one in every room. And status matched my only kings. Lord, you are better than all these things. Yes, your love is better than life, and you are the well that won't run dry. Lord, I have tasted and I have seen. You are better than all these things. Lord, you are better than all these things. Being liked and loved by everyone, approval that outshines the sun, cheered by all who think of me. Lord, you are better than all these things. Yes, you are better than all these things. And your love is better than life, and you are the well that won't run dry. Lord, I have tasted and I have seen. Yes, you are better than all these things. You are better than all these things.
Miss Carrie, they were on their way up, and they were walking up here just right now. They were walking up here. Like, that wasn't even a hint. That was like, they're walking up here. She's reporting. Are you going to come up here, Miss Amber, too? Yes, she is. Y'all give it up for Miss Amber. Give it up for Miss Amber. She was just on her way up too. And then at Passion, it was really cool because we were really at the point on Passion that, like, everybody was dropping out because they didn't have the money to go and everything. And we had two people, if y'all haven't read it yet, we had one lady called me who is a single mom and has way too many kids that she's, like, adopted and stuff. It's really cool. And she called me and she's like, hey, you know, I don't have much money, but I'm going to give y'all $50. And she said, here's what I believe. I believe if I'm obedient and give you $50, God will take care of the rest. Okay, within 30 minutes, Sarah called and said, somebody just called and they're paying the rest. How cool is that, man? That is awesome. So we got to go and do that. The theme this year at DNOW was exchange, and it was talking about exchanging our comfort for living for Christ, but not like coming to church living for Christ, like reaching people for Christ and then discipling them. So not going on a mission trip and then leaving, but actually discipling people here where we are so that they can disciple people. And that's, if you spend any time with the youth, you know that's what we focus on all the time. And so it was really cool. And so
I feel like I grew more because I rededicated my life last Sunday, and I feel like I grew more through it just with more relationships, like friendships through the youth and through, like, more of a closer relationship with Christ through the weekend.
She said she didn't want to say anything. So before we go, no, she didn't. She said she didn't want to say anything. You heard "give it here," but doesn't know what she said. So we had one girl here this night. I want to say this before we moved on. She wasn't able to come this morning, but Lindsay, she got saved Friday night. Yeah, I think Kevin was rejoicing too, so that's cool. Did any of y'all have a specific testimony about DNOW that you wanted to talk about? A specific testimony. Going once, going twice, going once, going twice, going once, going twice.
Okay, so for a little while, I've known that God was real, and I didn't, like, want to give up my life to be with Him. But over at DNOW, I realized that it was time, so I got saved last night.
We had somebody else share their testimony, because they got saved a couple of weeks ago and didn't tell anybody. So if they'd like to tell everybody, now would be a good time to say that was me.
I'm going to say Passion 2020 was the best passion I went to. Yeah. It's just like, you just get a rush of, like, I don't know, it's like, I guess it's the best one because I knew most of the song. I literally, in 2019, I just said I want to learn more songs so I can feel it better when I go to Passion 2020. And I knew most of the song. My favorite song, I can't tell you who it's by, but it's called Waymaker. I like this song, so y'all look it up when y'all get in the car. And my favorite line there was in Session 3 by Sadie Roberts. She said, prayer is a life. It just stood out to me because, I don't know, it just stood out because prayer, it really is a lifeline. Like, if you don't, I'm not going to say if you don't pray, but you should pray, and if you do pray, it'll be much better.
Actually, there's somebody sitting over here just saying, he's going to be a preacher. There's one other lady that stayed with us all night, and that was Amanda Mooney. She had to go to Jackson. Jason's dad, he worked with us too, but his dad had a wreck, and they found him, like, after a while. He had been out there, and they know he's got several broken vertebrae. They just found out his shoulder's crushed. This arm is bad. And so they took him to Jackson. So y'all be praying for them. But they were here too. They were with us to get the 13 seconds of sleep that we got Friday night and the 18 seconds of sleep we got last night. But these guys rock, man. I don't know, like, I could go on and on for real, I could, but I know y'all are ready to go home, and people feel bad leaving when somebody's talking on the microphone. I just said that just to see if anybody would get up and leave. But our youth group, y'all, y'all just don't know, man, y'all really don't know. So we go to these events and stuff, and all these other churches are, like, laughing and talking and texting on their phones and whatever, And these guys are like dancing to the songs. They're singing the songs. They're worshiping the Lord, raising their hands. And just, man, it's awesome to watch. They're taking notes during the sermons. I'm not saying they're perfect. You can look at them and see they're not perfect. But anyway, these guys really rock. And I mean that. Like, we get compliments from everybody everywhere we go. So thank y'all for everything that y'all do. And you guys are awesome. Y'all give them a hand.
Thank you for the time that we've had. Thank you for this group. Thank you for those who've prayed and supported and fed and loved and carried them into this world that provided homes and clothes and every other thing that they've needed in life. Lord, they're special. And thank you for giving them to Christ Community Church. And Father, we love you. Lord, we pray for Jason's dad that you would be with him, heal him up. And thank you that you saved his life. Thank you for Miss Rosemary and our friend, and you've saved her life. And Lord, we just are grateful when we see you doing these things, and we know that there's a time for everybody, but Lord, we're so glad when we see you intervene and save. Lord, I'm praying right now that you'd heal Lenny Bailey completely. Just ask, pray right now in the name of Jesus, you would heal her completely of what's attacking her body, and you'd save her life. And Father, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. Thanks for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.